El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
If you look under the Rivers and Harbors Act, it makes it a criminal federal misdemeanor.
Why should a fat, large man be able to take his top off of the beach?
There was not one moment during the footage that she was uncomfortable with this.
I think it's when you're the president of the United States, you should speak of the office, and there are events and times and places where...
I forgot he was black tonight.
He's a jackass.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And every night on this radio show, we take you through that looking glass to try to find a little bit of that.
Little bit.
And I got all... Man, I got... This is Information Center. I got a whole Carla Fiorone, bio I want to lay on you. But we have Ted Bell is going to be joining us this hour to talk... about the abuse contract. Is it legal? Can it be used? We continue this evening talking about the employee-employer relationship. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can watch a live streaming video of our show right now, as many people are, all over the world. And you can do that by going to our website, philhendryshow.com, watch the live streaming video, listen to the live streaming audio, watch us perform our show, and also access our archives, of which we have just a very, very deep archive of material going back years and years and years. PC World is called our website, one of the funniest on the Internet. It is the largest repository of material for a single radio show. It is the Phil Hendry Show website. Ted Bell joining us this hour, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about employee-employer relationships.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. House, come on down.
Hey, everybody, Ted Bell here, and really inviting you to come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills as we continue this week featuring our prime rib, slow roasted, slow cooked all day long.
Here at Ted's.
You don't dry it out that way either.
My understanding, you don't, do you?
No, you don't dry it out at all.
Ted, I saw this story, and I know you brought this to my attention because you have experimented. And a lot of people are not going to believe this, but let's just read this story. A violent boyfriend forced his pregnant girlfriend to sign an abuse contract, allowing him to beat her whenever he wanted, or so he thought.
That's the story that I called you up about.
All right. Under the terms of the contract, this is true, folks. This is in Seattle, Washington.
Where else?
And why do you say that?
Well, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. But you've got to... It's the Pacific Northwest. It's McCabe and Mrs. Miller country. It's, you know, it's the Mount Rainier's answer to just about any trailer park, I guess.
I think that's pretty harsh. I mean, Seattle is it's a big city, you know. L.A.'s just as redneck.
L.A.'s just as redneck as Seattle?
Without question, L.A. is just as redneck as Seattle. L.A. could be just as redneck as any burg you want to talk about. Don't worry about it.
Okay, fine. As long as you're the expert.
Well, you know what, Ted? If you want to get into calling towns redneck...
All I'm saying is it doesn't surprise me that something bizarre like this, where a guy has a girl sign a contract so he can beat her even when she's pregnant, it doesn't surprise me that it's in Seattle. That's all I'm saying.
All right, I don't want to get in an argument about it.
I don't either.
All right. A violent boyfriend forced his pregnant girlfriend to sign an abuse contract, allowing him to beat her whenever he wanted. Under the terms of the contract, Graydon Smith, age 31, was allowed to punch, kick, and throttle his 19-year-old girlfriend. His only restriction was that he wasn't allowed to punch her stomach. The bizarre contract was revealed after police arrested him for assaulting his girlfriend at their home in Seattle, Washington. The victim's stepfather had called police when he called at the house and saw Smith throttling his daughter. Smith admitted to police that he'd made his girlfriend, who has not been named, sign the contract, giving him free rein to carry out domestic abuse. Seattle Police Detective Elizabeth Ellis said, quote, Graydon made her sign a statement giving him permission to physically abuse her anywhere on her body except on her pregnant belly. When police arrested Smith, they found his girlfriend with bruises and cuts to her face. She confirmed her boyfriend was responsible for the assault. The unemployed young lady, Smith, is... Wait a minute. Unemployed Smith. Is that the guy's name, Smith? Graydon Smith, yeah. Unemployed Graydon Smith has been charged with assault and harassment. He's being held on a $100,000 bond. Now, Ted, you know, the reason why we have you on the program...
Well, hold on for a minute. I have to speak for myself. I, The reason why I brought that up to you is to tell you that is not what I was involved in. And what we were involved in was something that was entirely voluntary between adults.
Well, a lot of people would think the same thing about this. She was an adult. She's 19 years of age. Technically, she's reached the majority age. He's an adult. And they signed this contract with each other that he gets to beat the crap out of her, except for hitting her on the stomach. And it's clearly not a legally binding contract. There is no such thing in the United States of America where two parties can contract with each other so that one can visit violence upon another.
Well, I got to tell you, I beg to differ. I never had anyone challenge me on my contracts that I signed early on. When we began our business, I'd say about 5 years into our business, and we had staff, and no one ever illegally challenged us.
Then why did you stop doing what you were doing?
We stopped doing what we were doing because I had been advised we didn't need to do that anymore. That in case, and I'm saying, and I'm underlining the words in case, that doesn't mean it is illegal. In case, we didn't need to do it. When we started out and we really wanted to make sure that our restaurant was right up to par with the best, just the best eateries in the city, we had similar contracts.
All right, well, we have to describe to the audience what it is we're talking about here. Did you not have a contract that you signed with your waitresses saying that if they were slow on any given night, you had the right to, I think the way you put it, you had the right to slap them across the face? Is that true?
No, that is not true. No, that is not true. So, see, you're already getting it wrong.
All right. All right, well, tell me what it was.
All right, what it was this. We had the right, if we had a complaint from a table, and we deemed that complaint to be a legitimate complaint, and I'll give you an example, that she didn't bring the silverware, that she didn't serve the right drinks, that she got the orders wrong, we had the option of slapping the waitress across the face or docking a certain amount of her tip money. And we just said, you have the option. And that's where I think we had a legal right. Now, this abuse contract, this is the guy where he's not giving the girl an option for anything. He's just saying, I have the right to beat you up whenever the mood strikes me. But what does she get out of the deal? Nothing. If she had the right to kick him between the legs every so often, if she had, I think that you would find.
What do you mean if she had the right to kick him between the legs?
I'm saying, if you listen to me, I'm saying that it's possible it would be legally binding if he said to her, I get to beat you up, but I give you the right twice a week to take a shot with your foot between my legs. Twice a week whenever you feel like it, when I'm not looking.
So in other words, you're saying that would make it legal?
I think it would make it, yes. Now, what we did with the restaurant, the contract with the waitresses, is we said, all right, now look, if there is a complaint and we deem it worthy, then I have the right to walk up to you and say, there's been a complaint, and you have to tell me slap or tip. And she has to spit it out because I haven't got all night. If I walk up to her and I say, there's been a complaint, and she looks at me and says, what, like that, I automatically slap her face. Now, we don't do this anymore, all right?
And the whole thing sounds weird, man. Why are you doing this?
Why am I doing it? I told you, because we were starting out. My old man had left me a restaurant that had no money, and nobody would come near the place. It was a cockroach refuge. And we had to really get the place up to snuff.
All right, so you walk up to the waitress and you say, we had a complaint, slap or tip.
Right, and she's got to have the presence of mind to say either slap or tip. If the waitress looks at me and goes, well, like that, then I go ahead and slap her. And
why would you want to slap her if she goes, if she's taken by surprise? Maybe she's tired. Maybe she's been working all night.
Because I want them to be on their toes. I want them to expect anything. I want them to be ready for anything. That's the job of a waitress. That's the job of a food server. All right? We mostly have cocktail waitresses. Today we have food servers that are men, and we keep the women in the lounge, and I don't do that for sexist reasons, but I feel that the women are much more of a benefit to us working in our prime rib room. Now, so in other words, back then that's what we did.
And so if you walked up to a girl who had had a complaint that night and you said, we've had a complaint, the table at...
No, I didn't say we had a complaint, the table, nothing. I just say we've had a complaint, slap or tip.
And if she said slap,
I'd slap her across the face. If she said tip, then we'd dock her, you know, 40%. Depended, it was a sliding scale all the way up to taking all of her tip money for the night.
What was the lowest amount?
Around 30 to 40%.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't fooling around. Why do you think my restaurant got to where it is one of the prime eateries?
Well, why do you think that's different, and why do you think that's legal from this guy that was arrested in Seattle for beating up his girlfriend?
Because it was not a one-sided contract, because the waitresses, in other words, had the opportunity to have their tips garnished, or they had the opportunity to get slapped. Now,
yeah, but in this contract, you said it would be legal if that girl was allowed twice a week to take a shot at this guy between his legs with her shoe.
Yes.
What were your waitresses getting?
I just got done telling you they get the tips. And
well, that they both sound like punishments.
But one is a slap across the face, and the other is garnishing of tips. So one, the tip garnishment, I think, is a far more advantageous.
Now you don't do this anymore. Why?
We don't do it anymore because we don't need to do it anymore. We train our people so well that we don't need to do it anymore. But at one time, we had to. It was either sink or swim. We had a business. Most restaurants go out of business, Phil, in 6 months. I know you know. That's a statistic that is very well known. Most restaurants go out of business within 6 months. That is the lifespan of a restaurant in America. In order to beat that, you have got to make sure that everything is up to par. Food. Service. Is the place clean? Does it smell like people want to sit down and eat there? Or does it smell like a... You know, I've gone into places... I shouldn't mention any names. I've gone into very well-known fast food outlets that smell like there's an open diaper somewhere. Very well-known. I've gone into some of the finest restaurants in this country, and it smells like there is a grave that hasn't had the dirt shoveled in on top of it. I've gone into some of the finest restaurants in this country, and it smells as if there's an open crypt someplace.
All right, I understand. So you're saying that a lot of people think they've got a great restaurant. They don't. But we are talking about the legality of an abuse contract here with Ted Bell, our number 877-876-PHIL. This guy in Seattle, Washington, had his girlfriend sign an abuse contract where he was allowed to smack her around whenever he wanted to. He couldn't punch her in the stomach. Ted signed a deal with his waitresses when he first started the restaurant that he was allowed to slap them across the face if there was a complaint about service. And he says that it's legal because he gave them the option of either getting slapped or having their tip money garnished. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Your call's coming up next with Ted Bell.
The famous Phil Hendry Show. That's what he said.
I know.
That's what he said.
Phil
getting some phone calls at the restaurant. No, we do not.
Here at Ted's,
I'll need to explain.
We want to explain.
I mentioned the prime rib room, too.
877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, I know you don't do this any longer, and I understand that you are, you don't even endorse it. However, at one time you did. So what do you think of this guy here, this man in Seattle who had his girlfriend sign a contract that allowed him to beat her up?
Because, Phil, I didn't have my food servers, my female food servers,
You were calling them waitresses. Why did you change to female food server?
Because I consider myself very liberal. I am a feminist. I am very liberal when it comes to the rights of the feminine. And so I don't want people to think I don't call them waitresses. I call them food servers. I call them waitresses because I believe you started calling them waitresses. But I am very liberal, and I am a liberal feminist, and for people to think that I'm not...
Well, you had a policy where you slapped your female food service. Did you slap the men?
I think that's an unfair question. I don't think at that time in the early 80s you had to slap men. In the early 80s you had to slap women. Times have changed. But I don't think that there was...
You had to slap women in the early 80s?
If you were a food server in the early 80s and you were a woman, a long time ago, Phil, it's almost 30 years ago. I don't think there's a woman out there that was a food server in the early 80s that would disagree with the fact that it was a fair choice to be given by the owner of a restaurant, either get it right or get slapped or have your tip taken.
I've been going to restaurants my whole life. 30 years ago, I was a 27-year-old man, and so I was an adult, and I know what was going on around me. And I knew women that were food servers. I never once heard any of them.
Who'd you know that was a food server? Go ahead.
I had a friend who was a food server at the Hungry Tiger.
I'm not talking about the Hungry Tiger. Where's she now?
She's dead.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, she died of breast cancer. She was a friend of mine. I went to school with her, and she was a food server at the Hungry Tiger.
You know something, Phil, I apologize, but I resent you suckering me into asking you about someone that died of breast cancer.
And I didn't sucker you into anything, man. You asked me.
I just find it hard to believe that that girl... Are you saying that being slapped caused her to get breast cancer?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I never heard of her getting slapped, is what I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. If you're a female food server from the early 80s, were you ever slapped? I don't think so.
No, that's not fair. If there are women listening, you know what I'm talking about.
No, you're not going to find any. Let me get to a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. On the line we have in Nashville, Adam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just have one comment for the restaurant owner you got there.
Yes, sir, this is Ted Bell.
Is he still on the line, by the way?
I'm right here, sir. This is Ted Bell. I'm the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we don't slap the food servers right anymore. We used to.
I can't really understand what you're saying, but what I have to say...
I said that we don't slap food servers anymore. Don't you hear too good?
If I were ever a patron in your restaurant at any given time, 80s, 70s, at any given time, and I saw you slap a waitress, sir, you would be picking your teeth up off the floor. I don't care if it were someone I knew or didn't know. And
what's it got to do with you?
What you got to do with me? Because I'm a man.
It has nothing to do with you. That's my business. That's my business, and I'm dealing with one of my employees.
What kind of a man is going to slap an employee?
Don't give me that movie of the week stuff. Don't give me that movie of the week stuff. I'm running a business, okay? You want to lead a cavalry charge, you go and do it on your own time.
I've got all that can just beat you up. I'm sure there's plenty of them, sir. Because you're no kind of a man to be slapping any woman in the face.
Let me ask you something. What's your problem? What's your problem with it?
What's my problem with it?
Look at
because I was raised.
It
is wrong.
I run a business.
Under a contract, no contract. If she hits you first, hey, go ahead. But if that's what you're running
first, go ahead. Did you hear what the guy just said? He said, if she hits me first, go ahead.
What?
He said it's okay to hit her if she hits you first. Well.
So?
Why? Did it hurt you? Did the lady hit you and hurt you and you have to hit her back? Ow. Adam got hit. Ow.
Hey, you know what, Ted? Quit being a child. The man's asking a good question, all right?
Well, this guy's butting into my business. This guy's cutting into my bottom line.
Your bottom line. What's your bottom line?
I'm making money over here. I got a business to run. I got to kick a few asses every now and again. Customers weren't getting a drink at the table.
It sounds like you need
to matter with
you? Get yours kicked every now and then. Maybe all the time. What if one of your customers had a false claim against one of your waitresses? You still going to slap the hell out of them? Are you the judge and the jury here, right?
The customer's always right. Yes, I would unfortunately have to knock her teeth out of her head. What if you were the guy making the complaint? Are you going to be at sea? And then I'd slap her, and then you'd say, oh, don't do that.
Well, I'm not the little cop.
Sorry, you're sad.
Phil Henry.
By Ted at Beverly Hills, and congratulations to Meg Whitman and Carly Ferroni. They're the winners in the California primaries for governor and for the Senate. And also the woman in Nevada, too, Phil.
Well, for Republicans, I guess it was a good night.
It's the primary, so you don't really know who is going to win. But I am very, very proud of the women doing well.
Ted, you know, I know that you support Republicans. I think you're making an effort to say that you support women because of the...
No, not because of what we're talking about.
Well, that's what it feels like to me, because you're talking about having a contract to slap food servers around.
In the early 80s, when women did not run for the kind of political office we're talking about.
You ever heard of Geraldine Ferraro?
Geraldine Ferraro was the, you're talking about who?
The vice presidential nominee under Mondale.
Mondale? That was, Reagan was the president.
Yeah, but you said women didn't run for these offices.
Well, all right. Yeah, but nobody took that guy serious. Mondale was taken about as serious as you take a five-year-old running for president. He was like, he might as well have run a five-year-old child for all that. So I don't know the point you're making.
The fact is Geraldine Ferraro ran for vice president. That's the only point I'm making. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Lori on the Phil Henry Show for Ted Bell. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi. I would like to say that I've been a worker in the food industry for the last 30-plus years, and I have never been slapped by a male or a female. And I would also like to say that if I was unfortunate enough to run across you, sir, and you slapped me, I would slap you right back.
Well, then you'd have to have your tip stocked. I'd have to take your tip. See, all I'm saying is, if I walked up to you and I said, Lori, we've had a complaint from Table 5, and they are Muslims, and you went ahead and served them bacon, do you want to get slapped, or do you want... And you're telling me you'd slap me?
What do you mean they're Muslims and you served them... I don't understand that...
If you slapped me, I would slap you back.
What if I had a contract with you allowing me to backhand you?
I don't believe that you're telling the truth.
Ma'am, Mr. Henry's the one that brought me on the program.
You know full well you told me you did that.
Yes. But here is the difference. I gave my food servers, yes, okay, we call them waitresses then, but I don't call them that anymore. I gave my food servers a choice, slap or tip. If they were conscious enough, they would say tip, and then I would dock the tip money. It's not that unusual. If they said slap, they'd get hit across, or they were backhanded, depending upon what the deal was for.
You are from another planet, definitely not living on ours.
Well, ma'am, you said that you've been a food server for how long?
She said 30 years, and you said
years.
That women were...
Over or 30 years, exactly.
I said 30 years plus, and I have never... I've known many, many food servers, and never.
In what part of the? In what part of the country?
In what?
In what part of the country?
I have lived all over.
Oh no, you haven't, because out west, we out here.
I am 52 years old, darling.
This is the Wild West. All right, well, let me tell you, this is the West. This is the you know why they call it the Wild West? Have you ever wondered why it's called the Wild West? Because it's wild.
Do you know why they call it an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth?
Who's they? I thought that was God. I mean, they. God said that.
Oh, my goodness. Now,
oh, come
yes,
on. Well, are you kidding me?
You know.
I'm telling you that when we started out, I'd say to my food servers, I would backhand them, do a full frontal slap, Whichever one.
Backhand. Now, what's with the backhand?
I gave him a choice. See, she doesn't believe me. She thinks I'm lying through my teeth. Don't you? Go ahead. You can say it.
I absolutely know you're lying. There's not a
you
female
think I'm a liar.
Within breathing that you give them the option of a slap or a tip.
Is that right? Well, I guess you didn't hear the news tonight because a guy got arrested. He signed a contract with his girlfriend, an abuse contract. She allowed him to beat her up.
You
didn't hear
said
that,
the correct word, arrested. And that's
yeah,
what you
but you said that no woman would allow it. You said no woman would allow it.
Apparently,
that woman allowed it.
Apparently she didn't allow it if she had him arrested, honey.
No, the cops can't. No, she didn't do it. Somebody else did.
Well, I forget who turned him in. I don't think it was... Oh, I know what it was. It was the girl's stepfather who saw her bruised.
Yeah, see?
You know, Ted, you're talking like you're proud of this stuff. You're talking like you're real proud of it.
I'm a feminist. I believe in the rights of women. And
you believe in the rights of women.
I don't. And you're right. Thank God I don't. I don't. Because if I did, you're right. The instinct would be to slap them. But I can tell you, Phil, there's a reason why Ted's of Beverly Hills is one of the top eateries in the world, and that's because out west, when we start a restaurant, we know that the restaurant, the likelihood of it surviving is 6 months, just like you said. You've got to start slapping people around. There's no way. More restaurants would last
around?
Long. What's that?
Who slaps you around to keep you in line?
Can we move on to another? I've been talking to this.
All right, we'll take a break. Thank you very much, Lori. 877, let me control the phone calls, okay, if you don't mind.
I've been talking to that same woman. Are you done? Are you done humiliating me? Are you done?
I'm not trying to humiliate you.
Well, you're running me through the ringer with her. Who slaps you? What slap, slap, slap? You know, the thing about, I don't want to make a joke, but he knows what slap is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. As Ted Bell and I discussed this violent boyfriend forcing his girlfriend to sign an abuse contract, you had waitresses slapped in the early 80s, you say. Here is George in Monterey on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, George.
I'm just wondering, if you're slapping women at work, you slapping your wife at home? If she gets out of line, you get a bad report from the kids, you're going to give her a backhand?
It happens.
It happens.
So you beat your wife. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say I beat her. You asked me if I slapped her. I do the same thing every husband does.
No, not every husband, man.
Not true.
Not every husband.
I've never laid a hand on my wife outside of an affectionate manner. Nor will I ever. Does your wife have any brothers or anything like that?
Of course, George. Whatever you say. These guys call it. They know full well.
You come down to the house and slap you around a little bit.
Then I'd sue them. That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about a lawsuit. I could have her brothers indentured slaves to me for the rest of their lives if they lay one finger on me.
If you slap your wife, you're going to wind up in a jail cell.
This guy, I would love George to lay a hand on me. I'd sue him so that he and every member of his family would be working for me for the rest of their lives.
Ted or Fred, whatever
your name
is, I wouldn't lay hands on you. I'd lay both hands and my feet on you. Believe
that. I'd love it. Yeah, I know. You're that dumb. You're that dumb. You're that dumb. You and your kids, you and your son would be working for me. Your children would be working for me. Your children would be working for my children. Yeah, this is a guy that doesn't get reality.
How does anyone spend a dime in your system?
Here's a guy here. And I love.
You know what, Ted? Do you want to get sued? Is that what you're asking for?
No, I'm just having fun with the guy. He doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't understand that the way to make this world.
Turner. You're disgusting. You're disgusting. Your restaurant's probably disgusting. Your life's disgusting.
Well, first of all, you can't afford my wife's disgusting. I thought you were
your wife, Bobby. I got 70, 80 cents in my pocket.
You said. Well, okay, George. I bet you I could afford you. I got enough money to pay you to do anything I want you to do.
I'm for sale. I'd love to come down there and put a couple of
I bet
on
you
job.
Are for sale. I bet you are for sale, honey. I bet you are for sale. Do I call you? Do I start calling you Georgina?
All right. Enough of this bull crap. Good God.
What happened?
I got that bum Ted Bell out of here. The stupidest conversation I ever. Do I call you Georgina?
Well, what are you guys talking about?
I don't know what they were talking about toward the end. So there's Ted Bell, man, who signed contracts with his waitresses so he could slap them in case the, you know, he had complaints. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So when we come back, we've got, I think we have a list on, well, now that we've been talking about slapping waitresses, we have a list of the, what is it, bud?
There's a how to land a hot woman and make her be, how to get a hot woman.
Yeah. But it ain't slapping her, I hope.
No.
All right, so we'll get to that list when we come back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I should do a recap what happened politically in the country tonight. Bud, have you got that?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay, you don't put it in front of my face, all right, so I can read it?
Yeah, but you don't have it.
I didn't have it. Now you gave it to me. Now it's in fifth. Meg Whitman won the party's nomination for California governor on Tuesday, the Republican Party. Carly Fiorina will carry the GOP banner into the fall campaign for a Senate seat. A pair of very wealthy businesswomen and first-time candidates running against veteran politicians in a year of palpable anti-establishment sentiment. In next-door Nevada, a third woman contender, Sharon Angle, won the right to oppose Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid in the fall. So that means that Sue Lowren, or Sue Loudon, I forget her name, I guess I'll now forget her name forever, she got her ass handed to her. Hundreds of miles to the east in South Carolina, more like thousands of miles to the east. Thank you very much, David Espo, AP special correspondent. South Carolina State Representative Nikki Haley outpaced three male rivals in a race for the GOP gubernatorial nomination. Shy of a majority, she'll face Representative Gresham Barrett in a June 22nd runoff. Democrats, too, got into the theme of the busiest primary night of the year. Embattled two-turn Democrat Senator Blanche Lincoln scored a narrow win over her labor-backed rival in Arkansas, and she now must pivot to face Representative John Boozman in the fall. And the primary spread across a dozen states from coast to coast took place against a backdrop of the worst recession in decades, stubbornly high unemployment, dispiriting day-by-day images of the damage caused by the offshore oil rig disaster, and poll after poll that reported the voters angry and eager for a change. Lincoln told voters she understood their discontent with a,
Dude, what else you want?
What else we got, man? Is that it?
Pretty much. Well, Florida, that's probably all that it is.
Mike, there's a whole bunch of other crap. So that's it, man. So Nikki Haley, Blanche Lincoln, Meg Whitman, Carly Fiorano, or I'll get it. And then in Nevada, we have Sharon Angle. So we've got a number of, it's the year of the woman for the Republicans is the headline here. I just want to make sure that we didn't miss anything. I don't think we did. We did. We've got a couple of other things to report here. Two incumbents did not fare as well as Lincoln on Tuesday. Republican Governor Jim Gibbons of Nevada fell to Brian Sandoval, a former federal judge, after a term marked by a messy public divorce and allegations of infidelity. That was the guy that had to move out of the governor's mansion, I think, because his wife and he were separating. Rory Reid, who is the son of the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, won the Democratic nomination for the gubernatorial run there in Nevada. Republican Representative Bob Inglis of South Carolina trailed challenger Trey Gowdy by double digits, though he qualified for a runoff on June 22nd in the solidly conservative district. The challenger campaign is an opponent of the 2008 financial bailout legislation that the incumbent supported. Gibbons was the first governor tossed from office in a year of living dangerously for incumbents everywhere. With her win and his runoff, Lincoln and Inglis avoided joining a list of congressional incumbents sent packing by voters in their own party in early contests. Senators Bob Bennett of Utah, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Alan Moynihan of West Virginia, and Parker Griffith of Alabama. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here.
You're going to get to the hot women one, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get to the hot women one, but let me tell you something. This isn't all that, okay?
Well, yeah, but they got all listed out there.
Yeah, but this is just because it was written by Ask Men. This is 10 ways to attract a hot woman. All right, here. Number 10, they're doing it like Letterman. Get a track record. Hot women are competitive way more than so-called regular women. When an extremely attractive woman discovers that you have things going on with other women, it increases her interest in a big way. In fact, the number one thing that men are who are successful with hot women have in common is a busy dating life. Okay, number one, guys, this works with any woman that you perceive to be hot. It doesn't have to be a, quote, hot woman, like as in hot woman, as in, I don't know, Playboy or Penthouse or Swank or High Society or...
Like transgender.
Or transgender. What do you mean transgender? So, yeah, in other words, what they're saying is perception of having an active and busy life. People want you. People want to know you. You're on the go. You're doing things. That's attractive to a woman. Yes. Number nine, be a man of mystery. This means never lay out your life story the moment you meet a hot woman. Not only does it kill the anticipation and leaves nothing left to reveal later, it may also prove to be prove to her that you're not the kind of man she wants to be with. In fact, hold some stuff back, especially the best stuff. She'll be way more impressed. And Newspark, no, you don't hold back the best stuff, but you wait for her to ask you about the best stuff. So that's where they got that wrong.
Yeah, but that's ask men. You can't say what you know.
Yes, I can. Let me tell you something. It's not that you're holding back. What you want to do is ask her about herself, okay? You should already be an interesting guy. She should already know what it is that you do for a living. That should have been made clear before you asked her out. And then the really good stuff, you don't hold it back all the way, man. You wait for her to ask you about it. And if she doesn't ask you about it, then in the words of what's-his-face, Sonny from Bronx Tale, she's a selfish bitch and you can dump her. All right.
Yeah, give her the door test.
That's right. Give her the door test, man. You know.
What's a door test?
You didn't see Bronx Tale.
Well, no, I didn't see Bronx Tale, no.
Well, I mean, it's like it's something every guy has known, but you can't do it anymore because they don't have those door locks anymore.
Yeah, give her the door test.
You can't give the door test anymore, but... Basically, the door test is the following, and everybody knows what it is. They must know what it is.
I don't know what the door test is.
The door test is when you take a woman out and you lock your door, okay, and you lock her door before you lead her to the car. So now you're leading her to the car. You unlock her door. You open it up. She sits down.
Yeah.
Then you close the door. You walk around the back of the car, and you look through the rear window of the car. And if she reaches over to unlock the door...
Yeah, if she reaches over to unlock the door, then she's the best one. If she don't, she's a selfish bitch.
Right. If she reaches over to unlock the door, she's a great gal. If she doesn't, she's a selfish bitch, and you should dump her.
That's a door test? How are you going to do that if they don't have a door lock?
No, well, they got door locks, I shouldn't say. It's just that little door thing. Prove you're a gentleman. Showing a woman you're a gentleman is a powerful way to stand out from the crowd. Boy, that's the truth. Now, that is the truth. Today's generation, I have to tell you guys, especially you guys in your 20s, I don't want to talk, but I happen to know this for a fact. A lot of you guys aren't told these things, but older guys get told this stuff by younger women. And one of the things they say is the following. Guys my age are, well, how do I put it? They're stupid. They don't have any class. They don't have any manners. Guys in their 20s, apparently they don't open doors and pull out chairs. So you got to start to learn how to do that stuff.
Yeah, but that doesn't show that a woman's equal to a guy.
Will you get out of here with the equal to a guy thing? Maria, you haven't heard the door test in years? Yeah, but the door test is, that was in, what do you call it? The Bronx Tale. Anyway. You got to pull out chairs, and you got to open doors, and you got to be a class act, okay? If you what do you mean equal?
I was taught you got to be the woman's got to be equal.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh well, you take that woman's got to be equal. That's in the workplace and other stuff. Not when you're out on a Friday night. Number seven, don't be a creep. What does that mean? Well, hot women are constantly dodging creepy guys, so make sure you don't come off like a creep. The best way, make sure you don't sweat the small stuff, fixate on imagined slights, or get honest about an unreturned text message. When it comes to attracting hot women, it's even more important to give the impression you're too busy to even care if she pings you back. Plus, when you lie back and stay cool, she'll assume you're busy with other women. That's kind of a variation on number 10. Basically, make it look like you got something going on, okay? And the little stuff is not that important, and you've got so many marvelous things happening. Number six, be a man with a plan. Hot women love a man with a plan, so when you try to attract, I hate this hot women, any woman, So when you try to attract one, know by heart exactly what you're going to say and do ahead of time. Above all, never ask her to start making decisions. Make like James Bond. Yeah, that's a good point. Always tell a woman what you're going to be doing for the evening. Tell her when you're going to pick her up. Don't ask her.
Are you kidding me? She'll never date you again.
Don't ever ask her. Friday night, I'll get you at 8. That's what you say. I'll get you at 8. Oh, wow. 99.99999% of the time, she's going to say, okay, 8 o'clock's fine.
Yeah, but what if she said no? And I can't do that.
Then she's a selfish bitch. And
are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. The rest of this stuff you don't need to know about. Stick around. I'll have that. I'll put it up on my homepage, How to Attract a Hot Woman, Phil Hendry style. None of this Lycus 101 horse dung, okay? You don't need advice from some guy that's in the closet. I'm kidding.
You're going to get sued.
I'm joking. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.